we're not the fast food of the investment world where you just go and order your food and get it. You know, we're actually, you know, when you talk about fine dining, sometimes you ask the, you know, the waiter, the maitre d' of, you know, what do you recommend? Really? Because he knows what is the best things on the menu. What are they known for? What are you good at here? And that's how we are when it comes to retirement planning.
It's time for the Retirement Reality Podcast with the founder of Principal Preservation Services, Mike Koyanen.
Well, you know the old expression, the customer is always right. Well, that is the truth for the most part, but when it comes to financial planning, it's the job of the advisor to maybe push back a little bit against the ideas of the client and the customer if it's going to lead them down the wrong path in retirement. So today we're going to talk about some different things that a customer or a client might tell Mike or his team at Principal Preservation Services where they have to say, okay, hold up a second. Let's think about this a little bit more before we act on it. So that is the plan for today's show. We'll also have a couple of mailbag questions as well, so make sure you stick around until the very end. So let me welcome in now Mike Koyanen. He is founder and owner of Principal Preservation Services. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome today after a snowstorm. we're doing all right.
That's the first of the year?
It is actually our second time, so I've actually had to get my driveway plowed twice already. I know this is being recorded here in November, but yeah, we had a snowstorm in October that we got like 7-8 inches that it snowed out. Now this is the second one already. So this one might be here to stay.
But I guess the good news was you had a seminar that you were putting on and still a good number of people showed up, right?
Yeah, we had, I think there was still like 53 people on the list. Surprised anybody showed up because it looked pretty bad last night. But I think we still had about half the people show up last night, which is not bad for a snowstorm. So we have some really good troopers wanted to get the information last night. It was on Social Security. So
always an interesting topic and one that a lot of people need help with. If you do want to find out more on Mike's classes, you can always visit or seminars, you can always visit principalpreservationservices.com. There's links there that you can check out his schedule and get in contact with Mike as well if you'd like to do that. But he's always put on these seminars. So there'll be one upcoming. So just check the website for more information there. All right, Mike, today we're talking about the customer isn't always right. And, you know, that's the retail world. That's what they say, right? And depending on where you go, I mean, there's some businesses that will never say no to the customer, right? But when it comes to financial planning, you got to do that sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, growing up in working retail as, you know, a child in customer service area, you know, when I was younger, it was the customer's always right. You're there to please, the client. And it's different when you're dealing with finances because most people are not experts when it comes to investing money and retirement planning. And you're going to have to lean on somebody with that experience.
So today we are going to lean on Mike a little bit to help us clear up some of these statements that a customer or a client might say in a meeting to Mike as they're thinking about, you know, maybe an investment decision or something they want to do with the retirement plan where it might be best to kind of push back and say, maybe that's not the right decision. So I'm going to run through each one of these statements, Mike, and get your reaction to them. Number one, now is the time to get out of the market. Or they might say now is the time to get into the market. Either way.
Yeah, most people are making emotional decisions when it comes to the market. And I understand as we get closer to retirement, you can't afford as much risk. And that's why we all say have confidence in the plan you're in, because if the plan that you're on, when we show our clients what you can make in a good market, what you can lose in a bad market, a recession, or a nice bull market, stick with that. We can't control the ups and downs. Nobody saw the pandemic coming. There's volatility in 2020 and the elections, and we got the calls right before the election. We need to get out of the market. And then, you know, so the customer actually ultimately has the final say. We can't say, no, we're not going to do it. We have to take direction. So if they tell us directly, take your money out of the market before election, and we did, and then right after election, it takes off, you know, at Wednesday, Thursday are some of the better days that we had in the market this year. And then like, we want to go back into market. So if they would just stick to the plan, it's all going to work itself out. So you have to be very careful not making emotional decisions. That's why I think it's just don't go by your emotions. Go by what the plan you're on. And there's always going to be a little bit of margin of error when it comes to that. But yeah, if there's we set up our clients to maximum 10% loss in retirement. That's our goal for our clients we're working with. And if you can only handle a 10% loss, it only takes 11.2% to get your money back to even. So it's not going to take that long to recover from that.
I think this this election is a good example because, you know, leading into it, Mike, I remember hearing, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen either way, whichever candidate won. You know, there's so much uncertainty. And on top of that, you had, you know, Europe kind of shutting down for kind of a second, another wave of COVID. And All I'm thinking is, man, is this going to be like March? Do I need to sell everything I have right now? But I didn't. I just kind of stayed true to it. And as you pointed out, right after the election, you got the little bit of vaccine news. I mean, everything changed in a hurry. And had you gotten out, you missed a huge opportunity there.
Exactly. That's why you just don't know what's going to happen. We didn't know the news is going to come out where they said that vaccine looks like 90% effective. And that's when the value sector of the market did really well because, you know, what are the value sector? That's the dividend paying. And, you know, those are utilities. Well, and gas companies, well, people can travel. Well, you know, the oil companies like, this is going to be good for us. So those took off. Carnival went up like 40% one day, 39 and change. You know, the airlines went up. So you don't know what's going to happen, and you can miss out on that opportunity because we don't know when this news is coming out.
We don't. All right, what if somebody said this to you, Mike? This is what I want to invest in. I just need you to pick the exact funds for me.
Well, that's tough too, because if you know what you're investing in, you don't even need us, you know. So that's what we're saying. We'll open up accounts for people. If they want to have a play account, that's fine. But if this is with your retirement funds that you need to lean on and use in retirement, probably maybe stay away from that. We've given some advice to clients, like I know Casey has with clients. They said, we want to invest in this new car company, Nikola, if you heard about that. Well, Casey's like, I don't think this is a good idea, as he did some, you know, research and information on it. And they said, we're going to do it anyways. And even though he said no, and they said, we're going to do it anyways. And what happened to Nikola? Well, turns out that they got multiple lawsuits going on there. They didn't even have a workable, drivable car. They kind of rolled it down the hill for the video to make it look like they had a car that was working. Now, best case scenario, GM bought them out, and they're working with them to create a, you know, all electric vehicle truck. And but things like that happen a lot. So you don't need us if you already know what you're going to invest in. Our whole point is we have, you know, over 70 different portfolios that we will match up towards what is your tolerance and what is your ideals when it comes to investing. So yeah, we want this to be a joint thing. You know, we don't want to just be order takers. We're not the fast food of the investment world where you just go and order your food and get it. You know, we're actually, you know, when you talk about fine dining, sometimes you ask the, you know, the waiter, the maitre d' of, you know, what do you recommend? Really, because he knows what is the best things on the menu. What are they known for? What are you good at here? And that's how we are when it comes to retirement planning.
We're talking about times when the customer maybe isn't always right when it comes into financial planning or retirement planning. And I like this one next because when we talk, you know, on this show all the time, Mike, we've done a number of episodes, but we cover all different types of topics. There's so much that goes into a comprehensive plan for someone. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that there's times when somebody might come into the office and, you know, maybe they don't think that one area of that plan is really needed for them. They might say something like, no, I don't really need to spend the money on life insurance or long-term care coverage, whatever that fill in the blank actually is.
Yeah, that's where, you know, sometimes we butt heads a little bit with some stubbornness. And we'll tell you, I said, even though you don't maybe like this, or you don't like, maybe have some history or a family member had a history, for some reason you have a feeling about that, or you just don't like spending money. But here's the alternative if you don't have it. This is where I say, you know, people say all the time, knowledge is power. And I said, that's an incorrect statement. Knowledge is not power. It's just information. It's what you do with the knowledge is powerful. And there's so many people come in here with the knowledge how to avoid something, and, you know, how to avoid probate, or how to protect your spouse if you pass away early with life insurance, or, you know, proper retirement planning. But it's what you do with that information. So many people have that information. They just don't do anything with it. And they're, you know, stubbornness. Maybe a little stingy with their pocketbook. Maybe that's just how you were brought up, being a little tight with things. But as fiduciaries, we actually have to have these conversations and say, you know what, we talked about estate planning. We don't do estate planning, but we recommended it to you talk to the attorney. It's in our notes. So, you know, someday, you know, 20, 30 years later, if you pass away and your kids come back and said, my parents went through probate, you're fiduciaries, why didn't you recommend them, you know, work with an attorney? And we can go back to our notes and say, here we did. And we give them recommendations. It's not our job to do it for them, but they have to do it. So it's going to prevent us from being sued. But we have to have these conversations with everybody.
Absolutely. It's important to have those. And yeah, that's why you work with an advisor. And sometimes you're going to get some pushback on some things. And, you know, it takes us to number four on our list today, which is when it comes to fees. And we talk about fees and costs of investments all the time. But you might hear somebody say, it's fine that the returns aren't very good because the fees are really low. Or on the flip side of that, even the investment's doing really, really well. So I don't really care that the fees are so high.
Yeah, let's start with the first one. You know, we see that with a lot of Vanguard, right? They're using a lot of index funds, really low cost investing. You know, people get so caught up in the fees. Well, yeah, they are super cheap, 0.05, 0.1% in an expense fee for that investment. But I said, it's what you net. That's the important thing. What do you get to keep? And let's look at the history of these funds and compare them to what the history of our funds are, and just to show them that. So I could care less if you're saving a bunch of money in fees. It's what you net anyways. That's what the important part is. So even the second part, yeah, great. I'll invest in an investment if it's 5, 10% in fees, as long as I can make a better return than something that's only, you know, 0.5% in fees. So the key is the net. What do you get to keep? And so fees are important. Yes, they are. It's hard to actually pay a lot in fees that actually make a good return. But there are some that I've actually said through the years, I'm surprised the fees you're paying, the return you've actually gotten, you've actually done well. These investments actually perform very well. And even if the fees are 2% or 2.5%, sometimes those specific investments that perform well. Now, you know, we're going to do another segment on variable annuities. Typically, why I show variable annuities don't perform well is they're loaded in fees. When you're looking at 3 to 4% in fees, it's hard to make a good return on that. So, yeah, fees do come into play, but let's look at your net.
All about the net, the bottom line. That's what's most important. So don't get too hung up on the returns unless they make sense. And that's what Mike's there to do the math. And Casey works on that quite a bit as well for you over the Principal Preservation Services. All right, our last one for comments that a customer might make that you might have to push back a little bit. My accounts are down right now. I don't think this plan is working.
Well, how long have you been in the plan? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you're giving it a 3-year run or 5-year run, you have to give it some sort of time, because, you know, we can go back, you know, 2009, March 2009, the market's been up, and then till roughly just say almost March of 2020. So we had 11-year bull run. Well, yeah, it was good to see the market was up. But if you got in, maybe you change your plan here at the end of March, and then the market took off. You're like, oh, this isn't working. I made a mistake. Well, it's timing of the market. We can't time the market. We have to judge it over a period of time as well. You have to give it equal comparison. So that's tough to say, you know, because, yeah, if you've been in a plan for 5, 10 years and it's not working, well, I think you served your time. You're going to know in that period of time if it's working or if it's not working. But if you judge it off of a quarter or just even a year, because there's bad years in the market. We can't control that. You have to have give it a little bit more grace when it comes to that, and look at the plan overall long term.
Always keep that perspective long term for sure. And look, these things are not, you know, we're not having this episode to say that Mike's there to disagree with you. He's there to look out for your best interests, and that's why you work with a financial planner and advisor to really make sure that they're advocating for you and what's in your best interest for your retirement goals and your needs, and they'll help you get to that point. Sometimes it takes a little adjustment or maybe disagreement sometimes, but working for that compromise and finding out the best solution, that's what his team over at Principal Preservation will do with you. So let's turn now to the mailbag and get a couple questions before we get out of here today, Mike. And
all right,
our first one comes in from Diane. She writes, because of some past medical issues, I've been told that I won't be able to get long-term care insurance. Do I need to just figure out how to self-insure?
Well, self-insurance could be expensive. I mean, we say, what's your deductible if you're self-insuring? I mean, it's pretty much your whole estate. if you're single in the state of Wisconsin, you're allowed to keep only $2,000 before Medicaid steps in and pays for your long-term care needs. You have to spend and pay for your own care. In Minnesota, it's $3,000 for a single, not much difference. Well, it's for couples, they let you have more. It's about $138,000 of financial assets. But not a fan of self-insuring. But when we look at, there's other options you can do. There's actually long-term riders you can get on annuities that you actually have no health questions at all. You know, they're not going to be, it's not going to be as strong as a long-term care in itself policy, but to have these riders on annuity that will help pay for that, it might be an option. And there are some companies, if you're under age 70 years old, or some companies are 75, they're pretty lenient with the health questions on certain companies to have some long-term care. Now, there's different types of long-term care, so we're not going to get into all that detail, but you know, there's traditional long-term care where you pay as you go, kind of like term insurance, and then there's return on premium asset-based long-term care where you have actually financial assets. If you don't use that money goes back to your beneficiaries, which is nice. And you also have some other options like annuities with long-term care, life insurance with long-term care riders on those as well. I would still look into it. Don't give up on that.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Diane. And you want to sit down with somebody really to help you out and sort through your options there. That's a big decision and something that can be very, very expensive potentially down the road. So thank you for writing in to us here on the Retirement Reality Podcast. Our next question from Cherry, she says, are reverse mortgages a bad idea?
Could be, maybe not. I think they have to be for the right situation. And that's just like anything, whether it's, you know, an investment, a certain investment, it has to be the right fit for you. And I think the problem is when you pick it, turn on the TV, and I don't watch a lot of TV, but you see a lot of these celebrities that you've grew up kind of watching and trusting, Tom Selleck, and you know, all these these actors that you think are trustworthy individuals, and they're promoting a reverse mortgage, almost sounding like in retirement that's what everybody does. Well, it's not what everybody does. What I say it's a really good fit for is a situation where you lost your spouse, most likely, and you lost the Social Security because, right, if one passes, the higher Social Security remains, the lower one drops off. You might have lost a pension. You might have lost half of a pension, depending what option you chose. And so when you look at things like that, it's like, how am I going to stay in this house? That might be the good fit to look at a reverse mortgage. If a lot of your net worth is tied up in equity in the house, you can pull that equity out of the house to live and stay where you are, as opposed to trying to sell the house, go through that process, closing fees, and then find a, you know, move into an apartment that you might not be happy with, or rent a townhouse or whatever it might be. Stay in the house where you want to be and use that equity to stay there.
Hope that helps you, Cherry, and thank you and Diane both for the questions today. And if you want to send something in, you can connect with us via the website, principalpreservationservices.com. Also on Facebook as well, you can shoot a message there if you prefer, or if you just want to call us, you can do that as well. It is 855-987-8888. So, Mike, let's close it out on that note. A very All good right. episode, I think very helpful. Customer isn't always right, but it's you looking out for them and their best interests.
Yeah, that's the key is make sure you work with somebody, whether it's us or somebody else. I mean, we just want you to be working with somebody that actually cares on your account. Nobody's going to care about your accounts as much as you because it's your money, right? But you want to have some individuals that are being on top of things, and they're not afraid to actually maybe not agree with you and tell you about that and tell you why. That's the important part. If the advisor you're working with agrees with everything you say, they're just order takers. You got a fast food advisor.
Yeah, they're a fast food advisor. I like that. Well done. Well, Mike, stay safe out there in the snowstorm, and we'll talk to you again in a week.
Sounds good, Ben.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.